I speak to you in the name of God, undivided, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. Joshua the prophet, speaking. God speaks to Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away from you the reproaches of the Egyptians." What does that mean? We've often read it, but maybe we haven't taken it in. It's part of the foundation of the core of what today is all about on this fourth Sunday of Lent. That our God, right from the very beginning, as a God of reconciliation, a God of healing. Now, we often hear in the world around us that God is all about vengeance and blood and trying to, you know, put people out and segregate people and throw them away and only some are in and some are out and so on. But that goes against the gospel message. That goes against the biblical message. The wisdom of people from earliest times understood that our God is a God of reconciliation and a God of healing. And that was true in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, which we heard this morning, read by Monica, as well as the words from Joshua, read by Lisette. And then John just read for us what's often known as the prodigal son. Now, I don't like that name, prodigal son, because prodigal means you've got to come back and you're not quite as good and you're full of sadness and remorse. And what it doesn't fail to see that it's really not so much about the prodigal son, but it's about the reconciliating God. And the father in the household is symbolic, metaphorically, of God wanting to bring everybody together. Wanting to be inclusive. I've had people say to me, and I've even thought it myself, what about the other boy? You know, and he was going about how he didn't get his fatted calf and so on. And here's this guy who spent all the money on wild parties and he comes back and dad banquets him. And you know, there's a part of me that's thinking, this older boy is going, wah, wah, wah. But really what it's about is that God is a God of unity. God is a God, our God is a God of reconciliation, healing, and love. And so when we get into this human way of wanting to be divisive, and somehow we think that we are deserve something that somebody else shouldn't have, or they've got it and we shouldn't have it. And when we get into that sort of trough of wah, 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 I think it's important to start asking ourselves, why am I there? But this is a season of Lent, a time of introspection. And it's a human thing, it's an emotion. And as I've said before, emotion is a spontaneous internal response to a person, place, or situation, and emotions have no morality. Emotions have no morality. There's no such thing as right or wrong emotions. They're just emotions. So when we get into that trough of being like a child and thinking I've been hard done by God or our neighbors or our family members, I think it's a good time to stop and reflect and say, why am I there? What are my needs? What is the spontaneous thing going on in me that's causing me to react like this? It's an emotion. So it's time to be introspective and say, why am I there? And it's always a journey in Lent to start to integrate ourselves with our shadow side. Why am I there? How am I feeling hard done by? Why do I feel less than? Why did the older boy feel less than the other one? I mean, in the Jesus teaching, we get the image of why. He worked hard and he followed all the rules. And somehow this other kid who didn't follow the rules and was crazy and out there, and yet here's the father receiving him back, and the one who followed all the rules just seemed to get nothing. So I can understand it, but it's important to start to go up higher and say, okay, how does the father see it? The father sees unity. The father sees bringing everybody together. Reconciliation. And the father tried to say to the older one, well, you've always been here and I've appreciated that and I know that and I love you for that. And I think it is for us too. If we've obeyed all the rules and always done what should be done, yes, we feel comfortable in ourselves, but we also have to celebrate when somebody who's fallen away has worked their way back to wholeness. I work in the wholeness business all the time, helping people scratch and dig to put off all the scars, to heal the scars, to work through the mistakes that they've made, and to come back and have a life. Because most people that I know want to have a complete life and to get over the wounds. Sometimes they don't even know they're wounded and how deeply. But it's important for the rest of us to give them a break, to allow them to come back in. This whole readings of today, this whole cycle of reading for today, reminds me of something I used to do when I did youth ministries years ago in Ottawa. I worked with high school students and university students. And as you know, mainly I worked with both men and women, boys and girls. And I can remember well this day that I was in a parish somewhere in the Ottawa Valley. And there was all these really strong basketball, football type guys. And there was one little runty kid there. And you could tell right away that he was picked on often. And they sort of made fun of him. I even remember his name, but I'll share the first name. His name was Josh. I remember little Josh. And I was observing, because I had to do a whole day's workshop. You know, we had a luncheon and the whole routine. The Bible study, sing some hymns, that kind of stuff. And I did this exercise called break-in. I don't know if you've ever played break-in. If you've ever been in the gym, you played break-in. But break-in is where you get the whole group and they can do anything they want to keep a person from getting into the group. And it's very physical. I mean, you need a big space, and in those days I wasn't as aware of concussion as I am today and brain injury, but you can do everything you want to keep this person who's on the outside from getting in. And then you play the game, and then after the game is over, you sit down and reflect upon the experience. That's where the learning takes place. So in this gym, this church had a gym. We had 16 boys, and we had little Josh on the outside. And I said, okay, guys, you can do all that you want to not allow Josh to get into the middle of your group. And of course, they loved it. They basically picked Josh up when they had arms together, and they picked him up, and I said, you can't slam him on the wall now. There are limits. But they wouldn't let him in. Then I blew the whistle, and I said, now one of you has to come and join Josh. So one of them did. Within seconds, Josh and this other guy were inside the circle. And then we talked about the whole event. And the essence of it is, when you're not alone, you can accomplish what you need to do. And our society, we always need to reach out to someone who is wounded to walk beside them. And when they are walked beside, they will find it much easier to come into the circle. And then we translated that idea into our society. And in that part of Eastern Ontario, there was a lot of prejudice against black people. And so we talked about walking beside Afro-Canadians and allowing them to come into the culture, to not slam the door on them, to serve them in restaurants. We're going back to the early 80s. And it was amazing. It was an eye-opener for them that what they were doing was trapping and keeping people out and not being inclusive. Even though in their minds they thought that they were being inclusive, they recognized that they had to start walking beside people in a more inclusive way. And it's true now. We are people of reconciliation. So when we see people who are somehow on the outside, it's important to walk beside them, and it will help them to come inside. People who are ex-offenders, people who have been in prison and come out, people who have been suffering with addiction, help them come in. People of minorities, the new refugees coming into our area, all of these people, we have as Christians to make the effort to be the agents of reconciliation. Just as in the parable of Jesus, the Father was the agent of reconciliation. God is our agent of reconciliation. We are reconciled and overcome all our sinfulness that we have done, and we are still included in God's creation and in heaven. And we are to take this gift ourselves and bring it forward. So today, as we celebrate the Eucharist, I invite us to think about, in this season of Lent, our own ministry of reconciliation. How am I being a reconciler? How am I taking the risk and going and reaching out to someone who may be not quite socially acceptable, but walk beside them? To take the risk and know that I'm doing this as a ministry of God, that I'm going to go beyond my comfort level, and I'm not going to go with the herd. I mean, when we see some of the American political events that are going on, we see a herd mentality of segregation, of keeping in and pushing away, of ordering people out of meetings because they have a different point of view. That's not the way of Christians. The way of Christians is to take the risk to reconcile and to be inclusive. For we will be much healthier and truly more following Jesus when we recognize that we are all in the same family, the redeemed family of God. Redeemed by Jesus, whose sacrifice we are preparing for and celebrate in these next few weeks. May God bless us all and our ministries and journey of reconciliation. Amen.